That's metamorphosis. That's transformation. Now, if we didn't have the education that we have, who would ever guess that this caterpillar is going to become that butterfly? Just on the surface, you'd say, no way. But it goes through this process of change. And it actually happens. And I want to say to you, church, I don't want to remain a caterpillar when God wants me to become a butterfly. How about you? So how do we really?
It is fun to travel from time to time.
In Romans 12, verse 2,
the main thing I get every time I travel is
by the renewing
of your mind.
I mean, I click my heels together.
The word renewing is from the Greek word
koinosis, which when translated into English means to renovate. If you renovate a house, what do? Yeah, you demolish some parts of it at least. The parts that you don't want any longer, you tear it out. Sometimes it's going to take some effort. If you've ever done a renovation, there's some hard work involved, right? Okay? So similar to renovating your mind, you got to tear out and demolish some of the old parts of our minds and our memories and then begin to put in the new. There's a renovation, a renewal of the mind. This Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says it this way: let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Be changed into a new person by changing the way you think. So we have to begin thinking differently. Our behavior will change when our thinking changes. Behavior follows thinking. If there's no change in your behavior, then question your thinking. If you've been struggling with a sinful area in your life over and over again and you're having trouble getting victory there, change your thinking. Something in your thinking is messed up. If someone says, I believe in tithing, but doesn't tithe, then he doesn't really believe in it. You only really believe the parts of the Bible that you obey. So if there's a lack of obedience, go back to the mind. What am I thinking? The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you have to change the way you think. And if you want it to last, you can't start with the action. You've got to start with the thought. Hey, sometimes we take on this godly character and we want to be more like the Lord, and so we just begin to try to do all the right stuff. And you can do that for a little while, but then you tend to go right back to where you were. Can I get a witness? Okay? What really needs to happen is something in our thought process has to change. And then the actions will naturally follow. You see, all behavior is based on a belief. All behavior is based on a belief. If you cheat and lie, it's because you believe that disobeying God in that way will cause less pain than being honest. It's a lie, but you believe it. Back in the Garden of Eden, eating the forbidden fruit would not bring them blessings. It's a lie. But Adam and Eve believed it. When somebody comes to you and says, I'm leaving my spouse and I'm going to marry this other person because I believe God wants me to be happy, they just told you the belief behind their behavior. It's wrong, but they believe it. The belief drives their behavior. And behind every sin is a lie that you believe. It starts with the mind. At the moment you sin, you're doing what you think is best for you. You're doing what you want to do, what you think will be good. Sometimes you think it really isn't going to cause any problems, even though God says it will kill you. You see, you're believing the lie. Behind every sin is a lie. Start looking for the lies behind why people act the way they do or why you act the way you do. There's a lie behind some of our behavior that we need to identify. And when you live in sin, you're living in deception. You're believing the lie. So confront those lies. And when you start dealing with those lies, you'll start seeing change. Change always starts in the mind. You've got to start with the belief, the lie behind the behavior. And you have to replace the lie with the truth. Change the way you think. Now, we don't just get hit by a certain feeling out of the blue. We have fought something first that causes our feelings to be activated. Right? Okay? In counseling, they say that anger is a secondary emotion, which means there's really something that precedes that. Usually it's a hurt or something like that, and then that produces anger. Most all of our feelings are produced by some perception or thought about something, and then that creates an emotional response. There's a teacher who asked his students a question to try to illustrate this point. And he asked them, how would you feel if a person pulled their car onto the path that you were traveling and almost causing a collision? And they answered that they would feel angry, frustrated, unhappy, and so on. Right? Road rage. Cut me off! But then he asked them to look into the car and see that the driver is a woman who is driving with one hand on the steering wheel and the other on the forehead of a child who is bleeding profusely. She's obviously on her way to the hospital to get help for her child. He asked them if their feelings changed. Of course, they said, yes, my feelings changed. Now they felt concerned, sympathetic, and wanted to do something to help clear the way for her to the hospital. You see? When they got more information, when they changed their thinking, it affected how they felt. And it's amazing how our feelings can change so rapidly. And our actions as well. So we have to change the way we think. We must embrace the truth. We renew our mind by focusing on truth. That's where it begins. Many of us are familiar with Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Think on those things. But it begins with truth. Whatever is true. Begin thinking on the truth. So occupy your mind with the truth, or the enemy will fill it with his lies. Don't leave your mind unoccupied. You're just asking for trouble. The Turks have a proverb which says, the devil tempts all men, but idle men tempt the devil. That's a fact. You need to fill your mind with the truth. Jesus said it this way in John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We talk about becoming more and more Christ-like, the sanctification process. You know, just throw around some theological jargon. You know, we're justified by faith the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. We are justified. But the sanctification is a process that takes a lifetime of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Truth is what helps us in this sanctification process. Someone described it this way. Your belief patterns are in your mind, what you believe. Every time you think about a belief, it creates an electrical impulse across your brain. And every time you have that thought again, it creates a deeper rut. And over time, a mindset is formed. When people have learned something over and over, being taught by the world's way of thinking, they are programmed to go that way. If you want to change that, you have to align back to God's truth in a permanent manner, and you have to do it God's way. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the constant feeding on the truth of God's Word. Our society programs us to think certain ways. It does. The devil is out there trying to reprogram our minds to think his way. And our flesh so willingly goes along with it. Isn't that true? So we have to consciously program our minds with the truth. The prodigal son had a change of mind. Remember the story. And it wasn't till he had a change of mind that he had a change in behavior. The renewed action was the fruit of a renewed mind or a new way of thinking, which happened when he was still in the pig pen. He saw the truth of his condition, and it changed his thinking, which changed his behavior, which changed the rest of his life. The moment he came to his senses and he saw the truth, changed his thinking, changed his action, changed his life. In Austin Bevere's The Keys to Getting Unstuck, he gives us this formula. I think it's right on. Circumstances plus beliefs equals thoughts. And thoughts lead to emotions. And emotions lead to actions. And actions eventually lead back to circumstances. Okay? Circumstances and beliefs create thoughts in your mind. Something happens in your life. Here's what you believe about it. Here's now what I think is going on. And then that drives how you're going to respond to that situation. And then there's going to be consequences from that. And then you're back in the circumstances and it cycles over and over. But here's the truth. You cannot always control your circumstances. But you can control your beliefs. So reset your beliefs. Reset the way you think. And that will lead to resetting the way you feel. And will ultimately change the actions that you respond with. Got to change the way you think. So you can ask yourself these questions in any situation. What emotion am I feeling? What circumstance or belief caused this emotion? And what does the Bible say? Okay, this is all practical stuff. You really want a transformation? It starts here. With this kind of thinking, this kind of process. And then we need to replace the lies with the truth. Simple. Partner with the Holy Spirit in believing by faith what the Bible says. Okay? Are you catching on? All right. Here are a few examples to get you started. You can say these things over and over again to yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is our memory verse, right? And the next several verses paint this picture. I am a new creation. I have been reconciled to God. God accepts me as righteous because of Christ. Therefore, I am righteous. That's what the Bible says. Romans 8:1, God does not condemn me. That's what the Bible says. That's right. Isaiah 54:9, God is not angry with me. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 17, and also Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says that God loves me. And his love is unconditional. Even when I'm a complete idiot, God still loves me. Deuteronomy 31:8 and Romans 8:35 says that God is near me. He hasn't left me all alone. He's right there. He is nearby. That is the truth. And sometimes we feel like God is far away. And our circumstances make us think that God is far away. But the truth is that God is right there nearby. So we have to replace the lie with the truth. The lie says God is far away. The truth says God is right here, right now. Replace the lie with the truth. Now, I'm not just presenting you a self-help program. Just say these things over and over to yourself and you'll be good. Okay? I'm going deeper than that. Now, I believe saying these things over and over to yourself will help you. Okay? But it's deeper than that. What do I always say everything keeps coming back to? What's the key to a godly life, church? Okay. Well, you got portions of it, but one thing I say almost very frequently is it always comes back to Jesus. You need more of Jesus in your life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word. We need more of Jesus in our life. And that leads me to this other verse about transformation, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. Here's what it says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect, as in a mirror, the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So there's the idea of transformation again. But this time it's not just the renewing of the mind, but it's reflecting and thinking on the Lord's glory that transforms us. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 echoes this thought where it talks about having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Are you getting it? So I'm not just Peter Pan promoting think happy thoughts. Okay? I'm promoting being set free by knowing the truth. And ultimately, truth is a person, Jesus Christ. We are transformed as we spend time with Him, seeing and reflecting His glory. How many remember Silly Putty? You know, pretty cool little toy. It would bounce if you put it into a ball just right. It would smush. But one of the coolest things about it is you could flatten it out against a newspaper and it would peel off some of the ink and you could see it on your Silly Putty. I used to do that with the Sunday funnies. Put it over, press it on the comic, and I'd peel it off and there's the family circle on my Silly Putty. Okay? Humans are like Silly Putty. We take on whatever image we choose. Whatever image we put ourselves next to. And often, that image is of the world. Now, Paul encouraged us to take on the likeness of Christ. Be Silly Putty and smush yourself against Jesus and pick up His likeness. Okay? We should start calling each other Silly Putty. You see, we have the privilege of seeing the glory of the Lord, and it will change us. It's awesome. The Bible Exposition Commentary on these verses in 2 Corinthians says, under the old covenant, only Moses ascended the mountain and had fellowship with God. But under the new covenant, all believers have the privilege of communion with Him. Through Jesus Christ, we may enter into the very holy of holies, and we don't even have to climb a mountain. However, it's important that we hide nothing from God. We must be open and honest with Him and not wear the veil, as the wording is put here. And the mirror, as we look into the mirror reflecting His glory, that's a symbol of the Word of God. In James 1:22, it talks about that. As we look into God's Word and see God's Son, the Spirit transforms us into the very image of God. We become more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow from glory to glory. The biblical illustrator takes it a step further and says, the idea then is that they who are much in Christ's presence become mirrors to Him, reflecting more and more permanently His image until they resemble Him perfectly. Have you ever noticed how longtime married couples start to look alike? They do. Same mannerisms, some of the same facial expressions. You pick that up over time, right? Yep, so have sympathy on my wife. You know, but there's some truth to that. Or it's like this. Have you ever looked at the noonday sun? Even just for a split second, like I'm looking at these spotlights right now, and then guess what I'm seeing over here? Spotlights, right? The noonday sun, okay? That's the idea. When you look at it, you eventually start seeing it everywhere. The child who grows up with a parent that he respects unconsciously reflects a thousandth of his attitudes, looks, and ways, which gradually become the child's own. Like father, like son. There's some real truth to that. We are, all of us are, to some extent, probably to a great extent, are made by the company we keep. And so everyone who associates with Christ finds that to some extent he reflects His glory. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you're going to be like Jesus. And likely this truth is the reason behind Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17, where he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That is Paul's prayer, and he says, I keep asking this over and over again, that you would know the Lord better. Because knowing Him better changes us. We want to be transformed, then we need to know the Lord better. I like the way Warren Wiersbe puts it. He says, when the people of God look into the Word of God and see the glory of God, the Spirit of God transforms them to be like the Son of God. Isn't that good? The Christian, we are not in bondage and fear. We can go into the very presence of God and enjoy His glory and His grace. We don't have to wait for Christ to return to become like Him. We can daily grow from glory to glory, become more and more like Him. And so, church, I say, let's go on this trek to transformation. Let's get our minds renewed. Let's replace the lies of the enemy with the truth of God's Word. Let's reprogram our minds. And let's spend time with the person of truth, Jesus Christ. And then we will be transformed. You want to be transformed? Again, from the beginning, you can either be conformed or transformed. Your choice. You can be just like the world, or you can become more and more like Jesus. Your choice. Conformity, transformation. I don't want to be a caterpillar when God wants me to be a butterfly. I'm going to have to write a song about that. I've got some ideas winging already. I don't want to be a caterpillar when God wants me to be a butterfly. Come on. Caterpillar creeps along. Kind of creepy. Butterfly is beautiful and it flies and people love the butterflies. I mean, when you go to the zoo, they don't have the caterpillar room. They have the butterfly room, right? The Henry Dorley Zoo over in Omaha has a whole room dedicated to butterflies, not caterpillars. I want to be a butterfly. God is calling us to be butterflies. There's a transformation that can take place, and it begins with the way we think. So we need to reprogram our minds with the truth of the Word. And we need to reprogram our hearts and our minds and all of our behavior by spending time with the truth, the person of Jesus Christ. Because His company, His presence will transform us. We need to be transformed. Amen? Robert. You're spoiling the moment, man. Just turn it off. What am I going to do with you? Okay. Let's try to recapture the moment. I don't want to stay in an old rut, but I want to move on in my walk with the Lord and grow up in my faith and become more and more like Jesus. How about you? Would you please stand? Let's pray. God, I know that You want us to be transformed. And Lord, we're saying, yes, we want that transformation as well. Change us, God. Don't let us stay as we are. We don't want to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we want to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be more and more like Jesus. We want to walk with You. We want to talk with You, and we want to act like You would act. So, Lord, help us to be reprogrammed in the way we think. Help us to furnish our minds with the truth of the Word and begin replacing the lies of the enemy with the truth of Your Word. And, Lord, transform us as we spend time reflecting on Your glory, as we spend time hanging out in Your presence. Change us, Lord God. Help us to think as You think and see as You see. God, we want to be renewed. We want to be transformed. And we are ready for the change that You have for us. Change us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.